Member Week is here at Lowe's. That means it's time for My Lowe's Rewards members to save big with up to 40% off hundreds of items like appliances, tools, home essentials, and more. Plus, get free standard shipping. Shop these exclusive member-only savings now through October 15th. Not a rewards member? Join for free today. Free standard shipping not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
On the radio.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys in line.
Joining us today, he is the man. He is, we actually anointed a nickname, which I've never actually asked if he even liked it, but we just lovingly always had the name of Frankie Stamps. Frank Stamps on Twitter at @Roto_Frank. Boy, did we go back, Frank. Back into the Sports Grid days, intertwining CBS, all the stuff. I'm glad to see your face. Glad to see a familiar, great face. Frank, what is up?
Yo, what's going on, man? We were talking beforehand. Good times, kind of mixed bag. It's like the fantasy season in general. Something's going right, something's going wrong. I'm totally fine with the nickname. I have this kind of weird habit where I will just stick a Y on the end of anyone's name and then insert last name. So if we work together every day, you'd be like Chrissy Welsh or Scotty Boggs. So Frankie Stamps, fine with it, man.
Well, she's fine. Chrissy, not so much. We're not friends like that, Frank.
All right.
No Chrissy, but I'll give you Welshie. I'm not going to let Boggs call me Chrissy.
I had no idea the Tommy Pham was on the show today. We're not friends like that.
We're not friends like that. By the way, the next stage of the story is the best thing on the planet.
Trout involved now?
He called out Mike Trout for his commissioner skills. It is the best thing that has ever happened in fantasy sports. I hope he keeps going. I hope Frank, maybe you can make this happen. You got CBS money. You guys get CBS. Get Fam to do a 5-minute, just let him call out any person. I want to hear about the next guy who I want him to be like, you know, Freddie Freeman didn't even start put his starters in after week 8. He's a crappy fantasy owner. I live for this. Please let Tommy Pham slap Mike Trout. That's all that I live for. ITL story, Frank, but like, were you as excited as we were? It's a very ITL story about, you know, an argument and someone slapping and stuff. But were you and Scott, were you like kind of jazzed up when this was going on?
This entire story, this Tommy Pham
thing?
Yeah, we talked about it like first podcast back from over the weekend. Obviously, it's like a huge story that's going on. First of all, Jock Peterson, of all the people that you can choose to mess with, why
that's
would you
what
mess
I
Tommy
said.
Pham? It just doesn't really.
Well, it feels very bullying. Wow. That's why it's such a special story, too, but like he looks like he's getting bullied and he kind of looks like someone who might get bullied, like how he looks right now. Like, I actually always had this impression of Jock that he was like maybe someone you didn't want to be around, to be honest with you. I thought he had like a really harsh, not even bro-y, but maybe like a harsh demeanor and
abrasive.
Abrasive, that's the way to put it. And now you look at him and it literally looks like a bullying situation. We're all like,
sorry.
This is sad.
I guess if your first name is Jock, you kind of have to be that way. I don't know.
But I think it would be the opposite. Like, he sounds like a character from Stranger Things. Like, he's going to be bullying the kids in there or something like that. And he's going to end up dying.
Jock is a big old teddy bear. How can you be mad at Jock? Like, the guy's been a Dodger and a Giant. And as a Diamondback fan,
well, Tommy Pham is showing his true colors. He just called out Mike Trout for commissioner skills. I will tell you this, though. I said this on the last show. I do think Jock might intentionally be one of the funniest human beings on the planet. I really feel like I think I know where he's going. And I think he's really, I think he's secretly like leaning into this a bit. And he knows like the humor that he's giving. I'm starting to kind of think that Pham might be in on this too. Just telling you, like, he's either so insanely detached mentally where you would go out and call Mike Trout, or
you're saying this is a work potentially.
I think this might be a work because he continued.
He got suspended three games, dude. It can't be a work.
That's a good point to the conspiracy. But to then dig back in and turn the tables to talk about maybe one of the greatest players of our generation, that he's a bad commissioner of fantasy football. We're in Looney Land. We're in a completely different universe. So he's either completely detached, psychotic person, or this might be a really great work from a group chat, and they might be laughing. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they took the fantasy winnings to support this is my conspiracy. Maybe they take the fantasy winnings.
They give it to the Illuminati?
Pay the suspension. No, they pay the suspension so they can continue this work. If there is, I'm telling you right now, if one more story comes out where Tommy Pham calls out someone for their fantasy football skills, I will go full-fledged, this is a conspiracy work, and they're playing us all.
Are we going to start selling tinfoil hats in, like, our store?
Yeah.
I mean,
We should get a handprint sticker, like Nelly. It'll be like Nelly from the 90s. It'll be a handprint sticker, like you got slapped. It'll be Tommy Pham slap sticker. So,
Frank, what is more likely? Tommy Pham is a psychopath, or this is a WWE-style work?
I really want to say the latter, because I've just been thinking about scenarios in my head. Like, someone on the Reds now turns on Tommy Pham and like hits him with a trash can in the middle.
Well, it has to be an Astro if they're going to hit someone with a trash can, right?
That's true. I would say it's more likely the former rep, though.
I think Tommy guys. Pham is a psychopath, dude. He wanted to fight Luke Voigt. He wants to fight Jock Peterson. He got stabbed in a parking lot at a strip club. Like, that's a bunch of things normal people go through, right? Like, no, Tommy Pham is clearly just a psychopath. I mean, that is what it is here.
I'm just saying. I'm just going to be at the forefront of all of this. Just wait. When there's another thing, where there's a whole nother thing, Tommy Pham gets on Instagram Live and he starts going off about all how bad everybody is in fantasy football. Just wait for it.
Sports Grid.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces. I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hi guys, here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil, like a lot of it. Yep, that's good. Then I stare at a red light. It's the kind that helps your cells positively glow. Oh, wow, really bright, okay. Next, I take an ice bath. That's how you melt your fat and fix your, I don't know, other stuff. Ooh, yep, feeling super healthy. Can't fit my toes. Breakfast is raw liver. Okay, here we go. Oh, real good.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at cygnos.com. That's cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.com.
Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's in this league.
It's got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? Do you even know? It's
what they used to make
in this league.
I'm the smartest guy in the world, says who?
IQ test you took in prison, brought to you by Carl's Jr.
Frank, we were talking off air, and I was like, you know, hey, what's going on, you know, blah blah blah, and you were saying you just hit up a Metallica concert.
Yeah.
How old are you?
I just turned 30. Not just. I turned 30 last year in November.
Okay, that's still pretty. It's still pretty good. First off, how was Metallica?
Oh, Metallica is and always will be amazing. They are my favorite band. I've seen them like, I don't know, 9 or 10 times at this point now, and yeah, they were awesome. But I jumped in a mosh pit. So we were
that is what you said. What is wrong with you? Frank, listen, I look kind of tired. Boggs just woke up and stuff like that. You look a little tired, Frank. We all look a little tired. You're more of a, you do night stuff anyways with you and Scott are usually doing later podcasts and stuff. We all look a little tired. And you kind of were like, what's going on, man? You're like, yeah, you know, it's good and bad. And then you kind of go on and then you go, I was in a mosh pit. And I immediately was like, what are you doing, dude? What are you talking about? I've been in one mosh pit in my life and I was 18, 17 years old. It was Rage Against the Machine. I was in the mosh pit and I'm not a hyper, even though like physically I'm the perfect type of person to be in a mosh pit because I'm not going to get really pushed around too much. Not my jam, little intense for me. And I was like, I'm going to leave. And I think I've told this before, as I left going right up the stairs, I kind of bump into this dude and big guy, and I'm just like, oh, sorry, man. And he looks at me, he's like, you apologizing? You don't apologize. You don't apologize in a mosh pit. And he's like, I can't say what he said. And he's like, and he got mad at me for apologizing for bumping into him. And I'm like, nah, that's not my scene. You're a 30-year-old mosh pitting at Metallica.
What's weirder, a 30-year-old mosh pitting or anyone apologizing in the mosh pit? That's
like
my
17
question.
Years old though. I was 17 years old.
Yeah, I would say apologizing is probably.
It sounds like a Canadian mosh pit.
Oh, sorry, Derek.
Sorry.
Yes. No, I haven't gotten to the place mentally where I realize I can't do the things that I used to. Yeah. I used to play all this sports and mosh pit. I used to go to a bunch of different metal shows and all this stuff and jump in. And you know, the first thing Metallica starts playing, I'm like on my tippy toes looking around. I'm like, all right, where's the mosh pit? I gotta find this thing.
You were looking for the mosh pit.
I was.
What's the song? What did you need to mosh pit? What was the song? Was it like Enter Sandman? And you're like, I need to push some people. What was the song?
They just start playing, and I don't know. I feel it. I want to just like throw people around. I just cannot move. Like, I felt my back tighten up in a way that I have never felt in my life. Like while it was happening. I was dehydrated. I had no water. I was kind of freaking out. But yeah, Sad But True is kind of like the, I would say, mosh song. Like, it's just so metal. And
I hate
it's
to tell
also,
you.
It's also the story of Frankie Stamps in the mosh pit at 30. Sad But True.
Yeah.
I hate to tell you this. It's going to get a lot worse. You're going to hit these moments where like 33, you're like, you can't do this stuff at 33. You did at 30. And you're like, whoa. And then like 38. It's really brutal. And then all of a sudden, you know, you wake up and you're just like, well, you know, I'll watch this concert on YouTube. That's what I'll do. I don't think I could name more than 5 Metallica songs, by the way. Is that bad? I don't listen to them. I used to have, what was the Master of Puppets? Wasn't that the album?
Yep.
I had that album listened to it a million times, but I know Master of Puppets, Inner Sandman. I think that's it. I can't name any other Metallica songs.
That's what most people know, I would say, if you ask them.
Isn't there a hoot for whom the bell tolls?
Correct.
Yes. Whom the bell tolls. That's it. That's all I got.
King Nothing is the one. I love King Nothing. That's probably my favorite Metallica song. So,
ooh, I want to listen. We should, you know what we should do? Well, we can't do it. It's copyright. But like, I'd like to like kind of get wrapped. Like, we're all a little bit tired. We should listen to like For Whom the Bell Tolls. Because doesn't it go like
we can listen really to the first 10 seconds of every song real quick, and that'll get us jazzed up.
Yeah, that would be really good. Frank over at the CBS Fantasy Baseball Podcast that you guys can check out. We brought Frank here to come and do some player debates with us. You know, definitely a very different structure from what you guys do, because it's a daily breakdown. Who is the who is the daily conversation piece right now? Who's the guy that gets you guys going? Because I always know, like, Scott would get into this. You get excited when you put the box scores together and you're looking at them and you see the, you know, the daily performances. Who's the guy that has been heavy CBS, heavy conversation for you guys that you're obsessed with right now?
Well, for all the wrong reasons, I will I'll say Charlie Morton, because we were all in on Charlie Morton. He was like, the pitcher we love. We can't figure out, why is this guy going so late? Sure, he's old, but he's been amazing the past couple of years, and he's been relatively old for all of those seasons as well. And through 10 starts, he's got an ERA over 5. I know he got up to a slow start last year too, but there's not really anything in the underlying numbers that kind of say he's going to bounce back. The swinging strike rate has been terrible. He can't throw his fastball for strikes. Curveball getting hit a little bit harder. So he's probably the pitcher I have the most shares of this season, and he's been quite awful. So every time Charlie Morton comes up, we're just like, what do we do with this guy? Stick him on your bench. I can't really tell people to drop Charlie Morton, because I still think he can go on one of these stretches. We've seen it in the past where, like, he looks like the best pitcher in baseball in the second half of the season. So I would tell people don't drop Charlie Morton, but it's kind of hard to throw him out there right now.
We just did on the last episode, we were taking a look at the biggest month split differences of, like, you know, the hot Aprils to the bad Mays, or the bad Aprils to the good Mays. And, you know, this, we're recording this on June 1st. Now that we're in June, this is like a space where you've got, you know, a third ish of the season kind of behind you, whatever number it actually is, like right around a third, quarter third. And sample sizes are enough. I mean, we know there are plenty of players out there. There's lots of players that are, you know, first half versus second half type of players, or inverse of that. But do you feel confident for the most part, you know, now that you've got 2 months in, that the story, the majority of players out there, the story is kind of told? As in, like, it's tough because, like, Teoscar Hernandez slowly starting to kind of, like, get a little bit better. Randy Arozarena hasn't really picked that up. Like, what level are you at in, oh, this guy, Charlie Morton, this guy, here it is. We've had 2 months of this, especially, I guess I'm talking about not the split month guys, but more of the 2 months of struggle type of players. Like, are you more definitive in who they are is the value of the player? Or do you think there are still a lot of players out there that even 2 months in are just crazy underperforming, and we're going to be in for this big, you know, boost period, and there are some buy players sitting out there, maybe like a Teoscar?
Yeah, I think it's kind of a player by player situation, right? And I think specifically this season for players offensively who have gotten off to a slow start, the environment that keeps changing in baseball, and now we have to worry about humidors and the dead end ball and how offense around baseball in general has been down. The working theory has been, okay, well, as the weather starts to heat up and as locations start to become more humid, that offense is going to rise and the ball is going to fly a little bit more. And I think we're still kind of getting to that point where it's not the hottest that it's going to be yet. So as we get into June and July, I think that we'll see offense start to spike more than we have seen in the past in these summer months. So I still think that we're not there yet. I think Memorial Day is usually that time where, okay, now let's really start to adjust the rankings. Like, let's get Marcus Semien outside of our top 10 second baseman, outside of our
top 10 shortstop. That's a perfect one.
Yeah. And, like, we're starting to see some signs. Like, last 13 games, he's hitting over 300, but there's still not much power there. He's in a new location. But I think right now you could start to make those moves. I wouldn't drop players like that, but I would say, like, once we get to the All-Star break, that's probably all right. If Teoscar Hernandez hasn't picked it up, it's probably just a lost season for him. I wouldn't completely rule it out that, like, he has this awesome second half and he makes us look dumb. But yeah, I think, like, one more month, I want to see if weather really does spike and offense spikes in June before I do that. But yeah, I think once we get to, you know, mid July or early July, that's probably the time I'm looking to, like, either write people off or say, all right, this is legit.
Yeah, because there's an interesting, I'm not as black and white about, like, you know, okay, this guy is underperformed, he really isn't, so we drop him. I think people get a little dramatic about that, but there is this point we're getting to where I don't know if we can quite do it yet, but I think there's a couple guys, Marcus Semien being a prime example. Marcus Semien is a bust, regardless of what he does. Now, if he goes crazy, insane,
Moto Casino, America. like a social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
And does as four Mookie Betts months under him of what Mookie just did and hits 40 homer. Okay, then you can get back there.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old...
In this league.
Talk about www.com, you made it go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
I don't know what you're saying, but that's what's going on, yeah.
Player debates that I got, that Bogman and I put together, kind of have some of these stories. And the first one we actually talked about on the last episode, and I did put... Not every single one of these that I put out on polls... we do get some listener voting on here, but this one I did, and this one was kind of a steal from somebody tweeted kind of question about it, and they may have put a poll. I actually don't remember, but we were just talking about it here, and I thought it might be a good conversation piece. And she just mentioned this on leading off today too. Vladimir Guerrero, who has relatively underperformed this season, I would say maybe even dramatically underperformed if you want to put it like that, only hitting 249, 9 homers, 24 RBI. You thought he'd be, who would have thought at June 1st that Trey Turner would almost have double the RBIs in Vladimir Guerrero Jr.? I would have never guessed that. Trey Turner has 41 RBI and 24 for Vlad Jr. He has incredibly underperformed, but Pete Alonso has not. He has overperformed. He's not overperformed. He's playing at the level that we're like, yes, this is good Pete Alonso. 286, 13 home runs, 47 RBI, 30 runs. He even has one stolen base if Vlad doesn't. And the question has come up for the rest of this season in redraft. Would you put your money on Pete Alonso, or would you be buying low on Vlad Jr.? It's not a fair one for one. You're going to like make this trade or something like that. But let's say you've got an acquisition piece and you're looking for a bopping first baseman, and the two choices are out there for you to trade. Let's say it's a pitcher. And you can trade for Pete Alonso or you can trade for Vlad Jr. Which of these guys do you want the rest of this season?
I'm going to go with Vladimir Guerrero Jr. And maybe it's just like a recency bias thing. We just saw what he did last season. I still think that obviously the power potential is similar for me in terms of Alonso versus Vlad, but the batting average ceiling just seems so much higher for Vlad Jr. And look, I just looked at Alonso's page. He's doing things that are conducive to a higher BABIP this year. He is hitting more line drives. He's striking out less. So that actually lends itself to a higher batting average for Alonso. So maybe he can keep this up. And they're interesting in that Alonso just has that one massive season when he was a rookie, and Vlad just has that one massive season last year too. And people have pointed out that he was really, really good in those minor league ballparks that Toronto played in last year. And they had that whole, COVID situation going on. They weren't playing in Rogers Center. And then if you look at the ballparks outside of those minor league ballparks, Vladimir Guerrero was a sub 900 OPS bat. So there could be something to that. With that being said, I'm still going to take Vladimir Guerrero Jr. just because I think that batting average ceiling is higher than Alonso. And I do think they have similar power upside, but that is a really, really close call. I'll go Vlad.
Yeah, it's tough because he's still like at the top of, and it's maybe it comes back to a conversation you could have. You'd have to look at spray charts and stuff, but he's still like top 1% EV, top 5% exit velocity. A hard hit is top 5% in the league. But the one of the things that stands out to me is he's kind of back to some of those old tricks again, which it's that launch angle's back down. That was the thing that everybody poked on him about. Bogman, you and I were there during the Fall Stars game where he hit, what was it, like
one laser triple.
It was 115 off of Nate Pearson, who hit 104 on the gun, and it was a freaking laser that hit the wall. There was no launch angle to it.
It wasn't last Pearson year, because they were on the same team.
Yeah, no, it was
team.
Nate Pearson. Oh, you know what? No, that was Pete Alonso. I'm sorry. Pete Alonso crushed the Nate Pearson one.
See?
Yeah, you're right about that. Yeah, you're totally right. I don't remember who the pitcher was, but Pete Alonso, Nate Pearson hit 104, and Alonso, ironically, I didn't even think about that. Alonso and him were at the same spot. Alonso murdered the ball. murdered it in surprise. And then Vlad hit that one that was off the wall. Last year, Vlad had a almost 10 degree launch angle. The season he struggled was a 4.6. That was that thing. He's striking the ball, but he's getting no loft on it. This year, a 5. It's almost identical. Really, when you go and look, he is in a place that is very similar to 2020, which is worrisome, but he strikes the ball, which is really positive. So, Boggs, you look at this. Pete Alonso is doing all the things that he should be doing. He's not hitting 350 or some enormous, ridiculous thing, but he's doing exactly what he should be doing. Vlad is not. And Vlad is showing some signs from 2019 that we worry about, but he's still Vlad Jr. So what say you,
yeah,
Boggs?
First of all, I'm not worried about Vlad at all, even a little bit. Like, his BABIP is a career low right now, 256. He's been 308, 282, 313. So I think Vlad is going to be fine. But my answer here is going to be Pete Alonso, and it's because he's just doing it right now. I just want the guy that's on a heater, that is playing well in the middle of an awesome lineup. I think the Mets lineup is very, very good, just like Toronto's is. You know, now that Lindor is coming around, Mark Canna's even hitting right now. Like, the Mets lineup, they've got all kinds of injuries in the rotation, but the lineup is very, very solid right now. So for me, it's going to be Pete Alonso. But, you know, 15 minutes ago when I was thinking about this, I wanted Vlad because I was like, well, look at this BABIP. It's going to be fine. But I don't know. It's for me, it's just, you know, at the end, sometimes we get so caught up in what could be and what could happen that we, you know, ignore getting stats. So Alonso's getting them right now. Vlad is not. I'm going to go with Alonso. It's simple as that, but there's not a wrong answer here. They're both awesome.
Yeah, Vlad seems a little off in some of the games that I've watched. I pinpointed the Blue Jays. It seems like he's cheating a bit more. You can kind of see some of this stuff when you dig a little bit deeper. This is an interesting one. He is almost tied for his lowest first pitch swing percentage of his career. 35.9. Last year, when he was amazing, 43.2. Very aggressive on early pitching. He's also looks like he's cheating because he's hitting fastballs at an incredibly less effective rate, because I think he's cheating a little bit more on breaking pitches. And you're also seeing his chase percentage is a career high at 31.5. Last year, he was 24.5. He's chasing pitches more. He's trying to get on top. And I think he's cheating on some of the breaking pitches that he's not seeing great. And the launch angle's not there. All that to be said, that's all fun stuff to get analytical and everything. That I still would put my try. I actually really like what you said, Boggs. Sometimes you can do the KISS, simplicity of keep it simple, stupid. Just take the guy who's performing at the best level and run with that. And don't think twice about it. But in the scenario that I painted, because you can't do this, like, who would you trade one for the other? You can't do that. But you can do, I've got this pitcher. I got Dylan Cease. And I can go acquire either Pete Alonso or Vlad Jr. I have a choice. Two owners. They will give me these players for, just arbitrarily saying, Dylan Cease. Alonso would make a lot of sense, and I wouldn't kill anybody on it. But I won't give up on Vlad. I think some of this stuff is manageable. I don't know why he's seeing the ball different. Frank, you bring up a really interesting point about, you know, the new ballpark factors of not being in that, the minor league stadium, essentially. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. And that's something to consider. And I think that is something that we can lean on when we look at a struggling player and we go, this is something that's there. But he still really crushes the ball. Really, really crushes the ball. I'm concerned about why he's chasing off-speed stuff so much. I'm concerned why he doesn't feel comfortable at the beginning of at-bats. And I'm concerned that the ball is not getting in the air at all. But I think it's fixable. I think all of that stuff is very fixable. We're not seeing some huge decline in hard hit and all of a sudden he's doing this and that. No, I think it's something on the pitch recognition that can be fixed and just more at-bats. And the ball's going to fly in the summer. So I'm going to go with Vlad. And I'm not sure that would be necessarily popular. Frank, I put this poll out here. What do you think the poll looks like? I put it literally right before the show. So we got a couple hundred votes, but I've only had it out for less than an hour. Pete Alonso versus Vladimir Guerrero, rest of season. What do you think it's going to look like?
I think this one is pretty tough, but most people on Twitter are very big on recency bias. So I'll say 60% Alonso.
Boggs, what do you think? Have you looked?
No, I haven't. I'm going to go the opposite of Frank. I'm going to say 60%. Vlad, 40% Alonso.
75% Vlad. right now.
Wow.
I am surprised about that one. Not that Vlad's winning. I'm surprised it is that dramatically in favor of Vlad Jr. right now. Maybe it's a kudos to.
Well, it's everybody. A high first round pick versus a low second round pick, you know, preseason.
Between these two guys, something like that, whatever it is, the discrepancy between them. But see, that's also, I think, kind of an argument for Pete Alonso here. The discrepancy between the guys and like what you paid for is quite a bit different, where it's like, you know, do I really feel like I'm do I need to take the risk when Alonso was kind of already there and he's performing at what I need, where Vlad is just not there? Like they're similar ish guys, you know, similar valued type of players.
And I think that goes to show that people might not realize just how good Pete Alonso has been, because right now he is a top 10 overall player in roto leagues this season. He's the eighth best player overall, not just hitter.
Yeah.
Eighth best player. So I think most people, if you asked them, they probably wouldn't even realize he's been that good.
If the season stopped today, he's a first rounder next year. Yep. I mean, he would
fantastic
be.
Point. He's top 10 in homers in the league. He's number 2 in RBI in the league, and he's hitting .286 on a powerful offense that has table setters. I mean, Lindor, Marte hitting above you. You got Cannon now. There's a lot of table setters in there. The Pete Alonso legit could lead the league. You know what? I would even make a bet. I don't think this is available on any books, but like, I think he could lead the league in RBI. I know Jose Ramirez is, but he's 4 behind Jose Ramirez right now. And I'm not sure Alonso's stopping anytime soon. I think that Guardians offense can get a little stuttered. That RBI total might falter, where I don't think that's going to go on with the Mets. And I wouldn't be shocked to see Pete Alonso with 130 RBI or whatever. So that's a good point that people might not, it might be more about not realizing how good Pete Alonso is. But I think people struggle because Pete Alonso, at the end of the day, is never going to be a 300 hitter. You know, he's at best, he's a 280 like he's hitting. At worst, he's probably a 240. Where Vladimir Guerrero at best is a Triple Crown winner. And the recent, you say recent, it's funny, you said recency might hold this one, but I think it's the recency is just a little bit more spread, where you look at an MVP guy that is struggling in the first 2 months. That whole team, though, that's been the one thing that I've stuck with. This feels very happened with the Royals a couple of years ago in their minor league system, where it's like, it's kind of systematic around the team. Teoscar's struggling. Yep. Bo Bichette's struggling. That can be infectious. They need to find.
Want to try a free sample?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, time to consult the online experts.
You only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Stop it.
They don't know your body. Only you do. Signos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Signos.com, Signos.com, with code SPARK. Signos.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
And I don't think having Kevin Biggio on the team is good for them, because that type of infectiousness is hurting them. But they should, you know, like once they start going, I think they're going to rub off on each other. So I would take the risk and I would go with Vlad Jr., but that's kind of a tough one.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
Oh, I remember.
In this league.
Yeah, I remember that.
This one I did not put a poll out for, but I was very interested to see where this would go. I think I'm becoming less and less of a Julio Urias guy. I'm less interested in him. Watch a start the other day, give up 4 runs to the Pirates. It's unbelievable how much he's getting dominated. His stuff doesn't look as good. He still spins it, but it doesn't blow by anybody. I just don't think it's fooling as many people anymore. Strikeout numbers just down over years. And he just got beat up a little bit in the early innings by the Pirates. So I think Julio Urias' value has changed. But what if we compare him to Luis Severino, a Yankee? And I think I wanted to pick on some Yankee players as much as I could, having the stamps here, possibility. So Julio Urias, as I have their stats pulled up, a 7K per nine. He has a 2.89 ERA, but a over 4 xFIP right now, 5 losses on the year, and a pretty high walk rate and a literally double home run rate to his usual career numbers. Luis Severino has got a 3.38 ERA with a better xFIP at 3.61 than Urias, an almost 10K per nine, pretty similar walk and home run rates. He's got 3 wins. He looks pretty solid. Rest of season, Frank, Luis Severino or Julio Urias?
I think if you can guarantee me that Severino would be healthy, I would go with him. Like if you just told me, all right, rest of season, they're both making 15 to 20 starts, I would go with Luis Severino, but I just don't think that you can guarantee that. He's dealt with so many injuries the past couple of seasons. Tommy John, lat, shoulder injuries, all these different kind of things for Luis Severino, and I'm rooting for him. He has been awesome so far. He's throwing this new cutter. The entire Yankees organization throwing this new cutter. Jordan Montgomery's been using it. Garrett Cole's been using it. So it's really interesting, and I like what he's done so far. But I will take Julio Urias. He's been more durable since the start of 2020. He really has, you know, consistently made the starts that they've asked him to make. And I understand the underlying numbers don't look as good, but he's basically just made a career out of that. So I trust it. He's got a 3.07 career ERA. His xFIP is 4.09 for his career. So he's routinely outperformed that number. Same thing with like Walker Buehler. It could just be something with the Dodgers where the quality of contact that they allow, they find a way to get away with it. I don't love the strikeouts, obviously. I think in that start against the Pirates, it was the highest swinging strike rate we've seen in a start this season. So I'm hoping that's a sign of things to come, but I will take Urias. It's mostly about the injury risk for Severino than anything, though.
Boggs, I'm so down on Urias. Oh, you know, the one thing let me ask you this real quick, Frank. So you're not willing to build in a healthy season for Severino because you caveated it. You said, if you told me and said he will play it, so you think he's that much of a risk that you're not willing to build that in?
I do think he's that much of a risk. I mean, the Yankees have really babied their pitchers this year. I mean, they get to, you know, 85, 90 pitches. You see Aaron Boone up there. He's sweating at the top of the dugout. He's like, I got to take this guy out, man. He's like freaking out and stuff. And they're really, really cautious with their pitchers. And I think, you know, if we just get one sign of like anything going on with Severino, they're going to be super cautious with this guy. So I hear what you're saying, but it's too much of an injury risk for me.
4.09 Sierra for Julio Urias. That is behind Herman Marquez, Nick Pavetta, Jordan Lyles, players like that. But again, like you said, he definitely is a magician. He gets away with a lot. Probably helps you say, yeah, it's a Dodger thing. Yeah, helps when you got Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts, Trey Turner on offense. Also pretty good defenders. You got a great defense behind you. You got a ballpark where the ball can die at night a little bit more when you're playing night games. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of those factors have worked out well for him, but he's stacking up losses. He's underperforming. Boggs, these guys were completely different trajectory of value. Julio Urias, top 15 pitcher drafted. Luis Severino probably scared everybody off coming off of injury, but Severino has looked great. Julio Urias has been average. Does it change anything? Who do you take?
This is a zero shares debate for me. I don't have any shares of either one of these guys. And it's, you know, all the stuff that Frank said about, you know, Luis Severino and his injury history is what scared me off of him. And I just wasn't paying the price for Julio Urias coming into the season. After doing it 1 year, it was just a little, and I would have taken him. I had him ranked fairly high, but I just wasn't taking pitchers at that spot where he was going. So I don't have any shares of either one of these guys. I think this is going to be another one where I'm surprised. I disagree with Frank. I'm going to take Luis Severino. I think the babying is good for him. You know, I think it's going to limit him. So he does make a couple extra starts at the end of the year instead of throwing 100 to 110 pitches in a game, even if he can right now. They know his history. They're going to handle him with kid gloves. And Urias just, you know, he's losing velocity off the fastball. He doesn't look right now. So I'm afraid it's all going to come unraveling for him at some point. So for me, it'd be Severino. But like I said, don't really have a dog in this fight. But I would take Severino just because he looks better right now.
Yeah, and I don't know if I'm like dramatic on either point. To me, I guess this is kind of about like where I'm devaluing Julio Urias than it is so much trying to prop up Luis Severino, because as much as I said it, you can't build in. You can't just be like, well, Luis Severino is just going to, you know, he'll be great. He'll, you know, he'll pitch all the innings. It's like, no, not necessarily, but a great bullpen, you know, when they get Chapman back, whatever role that he, if he goes back to closer, if he moves to a different role, you've got Holmes, you've got King, you've got a great bullpen. They've got a good minor league system of pitchers where if they wanted to even push six man, they could do that type of stuff. And Severino has been near the tippy top of all of them. When I moved the qualified leaders up just in innings, because I am guessing it's set at 50 and I put it to 40 innings, Severino has got the 32nd best Sierra in baseball, which is about 0.7 better than Julio Urias. He's in the same, and if you believe Sierra is like more of like a true ERA marker, he is in the same category as Logan Webb and Alek Manoah, but he's got a better K percentage than both of them. A little bit more walky, a great offense, though a little bit of a matchbox pitching environment. I actually would go with Severino, because I'll tell you this, I believe the upside is on Severino's trajectory than I believe who. I think Urias is capped. Frank did a great analysis of Urias. This is who he is. He just overperforms his xFIP or Sierra, whichever one you want to mark, gets away with stuff, but he doesn't strike out guys. He's giving up homers a little bit more of a clip. Maybe it'll get fixed. There's a great offense there. He'll get some more wins. He's already got 5 losses. You know, I don't think he looks right either when I watch him. I love the spin on it. He just doesn't look quite like the same pitcher. I think Severino is playing at a level that I would actually take him if we started right now. I would take Severino over him for the upside, knowing that there's a risk. So I also going against Frank. How do we take the Yankees, Frank?
I think I kind of like reverse psychology myself into just downplaying the Yankees more than So I don't look like a homer, but.
Let me do this one real quick then. Cause this is one more Yankee one. And this is one like we haven't done. And I put 2 bullpen arms in here, and I think you'll follow. I actually probably should have put this as a poll, cause it would have been really interesting to see. Maybe I will even now. I pitted one closer that looks like the guy next year when he's on any other team. He's going to instantly be like a top 6 closer on a good team. David Bednar. David Bednar, everybody loves him. Big intensity. He can actually close out games for the Pittsburgh Pirates, but he's a Pirate, and that's a problem. Versus Clay Holmes, who is currently closing for the Yankees. No guarantee to go, but maybe the most valuable reliever in baseball right now, has been phenomenal, and there's an argument to be made that he could keep that job when Chapman comes back, though it's just an argument. So, Holmes versus Bednar, good closer, horrific team, guy who has a closing job but no guarantees, rest of season starting right now, Frank, who do you take, Bednar or Holmes?
I think it's kind of creeping back into my mind here, the reverse psychology, but I'm going to take David Bednar. I just think that there are fewer things working against him here. Obviously, the Pirates are not a great team, though. I was looking at standings earlier. The Pirates have a better record than the Phillies. Pirates are the best team in Pennsylvania. Like, what is going on? That's so odd. But anyway, he's got 9 saves. He's been absolutely ridiculous. The K-minus walk rate, swinging strike rate is fantastic for David Bednar. I just don't worry about anybody else in that bullpen even coming close or messing around with David Bednar's job. Whereas with Clay Holmes, you still kind of have this situation lingering in the back of your mind where Aroldis Chapman could return and they could slot him back into the closer's role. Keywords there, could. It could happen. Now, if you told me there's a 30% chance of Clay Holmes holding on to this closer role rest of season, I would say that there is a better percentage chance of that actually happening. I would say it's like 50 or 60%. But still that sliver of doubt, the possibility that Chapman can return and take back that gig, that's enough for me to say, all right, give me the guy who I know is the closer for his team, even though they're not as good of a team. The ratios are fantastic. The strikeouts are awesome. I'll take David Bednar.
I mean, see, you open it up for me a lot there when you start to bring out those percentages, and even 50, but you would say it's 50 to 60% that he could keep it and you would still go with Bednar is eye opening to me. Boggs, what say you on this one? You go the easy route. Don't screw around. Keep it simple.
I'm going to go with Frank here. Finally, we agree on something here. I love it. David Bednar for me too. I just think that when Chapman looks right, he gets the role back. I just think that that's the way it is, because you want your best reliever to be that fireman. And it's just easier to say Clay Holmes comes in pressure situations and gets out. Is Sierra's 0.77 right now. It's unbelievable what this guy is doing. It's also not sustainable. Like, no one is going to be that good all year long. I just don't think Clay Holmes magically turned into Mariano Rivera this year. I just don't think that happened. Bednar also, he could be on a different team at any point and not be a closer. It wouldn't be that surprising, but he is not a free agent until 2027. He's not even arbitration eligible until 2024. So this is a cheap asset that the Pirates don't like to trade. So I think they're going to keep him. The difference between saves for Pittsburgh and New York right now is 4. It's 17 for the Yankees and 13 for the Pirates. So to me, I'm going to keep Bednar here. I think he keeps his job the whole year. I think he stays with the Pirates. I do think Clay Holmes is a better pitcher right now, but I think they want him in a different role. So as soon as Chapman looks feasible in the ninth, I think he gets that job back and Clay Holmes becomes the Yankees fireman.
Holmes has 3 less saves than Bednar right now. Just think about that for a minute. Yeah. Like, when Holmes has 3 less saves. David Bednar is a dude. I am going to go out on a limb, though, and I'm going to go with Holmes. I think it is. Now, this would be silly if someone looked at this. Should we drop Bednar for Holmes? No, dummy. I wouldn't do that. But I'm saying rest of season, I think Holmes keeps this job. I don't know how the Yankees justify with how Chapman was outside of a dollar sign on Chapman and him closing before. Holmes looks elite. He's not a crazy strikeout guy, but he looks elite. A couple bad relief appearances could change all of it, but he's already got 6 saves on the season. That's 3 less than Bednar, who has been the closer the entire year for the Pirates. That's the difference between Pirate wins and Yankee wins. And I think it could split between. I think Holmes could, even if he didn't have the job like locked down, they could have a committee situation. I think Bednar could have 30 saves and Holmes could have 20 saves and you'll look back and Holmes will still be more valuable, maybe even 25. Cause I think they could fireman Chapman a little bit. So I'll just go with Holmes on this one. Even though Bednar is the smarter, safer choice, I think when you build in that percentage that he could stay as a closer, it really does make Holmes move into another tier. All right, these are the, we're gonna go a little bit quicker.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Moto Casino.
Social casino. On these last ones, these are actually more of the fun ones. And one I'm just getting murdered on. People are so mad I put one of these out there.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Wait, let me explain something to you. I am not
in this league.
You're
in this league.
I'm the dude.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Get it! Welcome back, friends. In this league, the Welsh, the Bogman. That was Frank Stanfill. Hope you guys enjoyed that. A lot more baseball conversation. It was a very long baseball episode, if I'm being honest with you, this week. We did listener voicemails with an insanely great parody song from our friend Jack Boyce about Tommy Pham and Jock Peterson, which you should check out. And there's a lot more conversation with Frank. Like I said, we did a bit over an hour. ITL Fantasy Baseball Podcast, not the standard baseball podcast nowadays, because those exist under 60 minutes and we are more long form conversations. And speaking of which, we've got a 60 minute coming up here with Bogman and Marty Tallman.
Marty Tallman in the house from Triple Play. Marty, a longtime ITL guy as well. What is on docket for you and Marty?
We've been talking a lot of baseball. You know, Marty is working for Triple Play, doing baseball stuff on their podcast. He's also writing for Fan Tracks. So, you know, going to talk to him about how he got started in the industry, his favorite teams, all that stuff. I always like to, when we get someone new on, I like to ask them their favorite sports moment from their favorite sport. So I'll ask him what his favorite baseball moment was ever.
Like a classic radio thing. Look at you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, well, that's like, you're very like old school radio host. Yeah. Like James Lipston, like, let me know what your favorite
what would you like to hear
moment?
God say when the doors open? Yeah.
What would you say is your favorite sports moment since 1992?
Yeah. The greatest actors of all time, of course, Marlon Brando, Julia Roberts, and Screech from Saved by the Bell. But
what would God say to you all at this moment, Screech? What would God say?
I also want to see what his take on Tommy Pham versus Jock is, because that is very topical as well. And then just kind of dive in on some of the guys that have been good or bad this season and see, like, you know, kind of a longer game of are they washed or are they actually this good with Marty as well. So
that
a lot of baseball.
Very, very good. Yep. Hour three, more baseball. It is the Marty and Bogman show coming up here on In This League. Friends, don't go anywhere. I'm out. Hour three, though, coming up.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.